So once again, I would like also to begin by giving thanks to God for making it possible for us to be here at least 1 year. It is a great joy to know that God has been good to us in these past months that we've been meeting here. And sometimes you tend to take these things for granted, but it's always good to mark God's goodness to us with praise and with thankfulness. I still do remember in October of 2016 when we first began meeting at Villago, and it was a joy then, as it is a joy this morning, because at the time, I remember Chris asking me whether I would be willing to preach an inaugural sermon. And I was thinking to myself what it is to preach about when you are beginning a church. And I still think what I thought then, and I am very excited that this is exactly what I'm thinking then. I thought about speaking about the grace of God to guilty, unworthy sinners like us. And then we were looking at Acts chapter 9, the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. And this morning I would like us to look upon the grace of God in the conversion of the dying thief on the cross. And before we turn to the sermon, I just want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, especially in the light of the bad tidings that we have received from our brothers and sisters at Grace and at Santan Valley, to be much in prayer. It takes God to build the church. And if we forget that principle, we might find ourselves in a very unfortunate circumstances. And so please pray for Grace, but also please do pray for ourselves. Only God can establish the work here. And so do continue to pray for God's grace and God's favor upon this work. Now, this morning, as we turn our attention to the story of the dying thief on the cross, I would like to begin by saying, here is an individual who does not deserve to be in heaven. And if it is true that you can complain about somebody who goes to heaven, there is a case here of people who were more religious, who were more, if you like, from the human standpoint, committed to God and to religious activity, who died and went to hell. And here is a man who is a criminal. And he woke up that morning from that criminal cell, and he was going to die and go to hell. And right at the 11th hour, I like the way somebody put it, that he had breakfast with the devil, lunch with the Lord Jesus, and supper in heaven. And this, my beloved friends, is a story I would like us to take a look at this morning. It's a story that goes against the way we feel and think about salvation. It's a story because by nature we have this, I don't know where it comes from, it just feels like we have to do something for us to be saved to be accepted with God. Of course, we do acknowledge that God must do something. God must do the biggest thing. But, you know, even then, when we acknowledge that, we still feel that, you know, that there's that one little thing that we must do that will make God to finally accept us into heaven. And this story cuts across that whole kind of thinking. That's why this is a very important part of God's revelation to us. Because it reminds us again and again that if we will ever be saved and get to God's heaven, it will be on the terms of God, not ours. If ever we will be saved, beloved friends, we will be saved because God has shown His grace to us. God has displayed His favor to us. We will not be saved because we planted a Reformed Baptist church in Casa Grande. We will not be saved because we are so committed to seeking God in our lives. We will be saved simply by the free and unmerited favor of God. And we must never tire of reminding ourselves that we are saved by grace and kept by grace and enter into heaven by the free and unmerited favor of God to guilty sinners like us. And so this is a very, very interesting story. Here is a man who had lived his entire life as a criminal, that the laws of man finally caught up with him and put him where he really belonged. He was a guilty man. And they had decided that he was going to be executed. And the Romans had decided to give him the worst punishment they could ever think of. He was going to be crucified because he was a criminal and he deserved it. And this is the man who ends up in heaven. Can you believe it? Does it compute in your mind? A man who has spent his entire life breaking the laws of man. He has spent his entire life ignoring and living as if there is no God in this world. And yet, right before he dies, God's grace comes reaching down to him marvelously. It's like we sang that wonderful hymn. Marvelous grace. Infinite grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse. That is the grace of God that came to this man at the 11th hour. At the nick of time. You know, it's like when you are a patient and you are sick and then you go to the hospital. You go to the hospital. The doctor is supposed to leave that work at 10 o'clock and you arrive at 9:59. And the doctor remains to treat you. I'm sure you probably will say, where have you been? Why do you come when I'm just about to go? Probably will even say, come tomorrow. I'm done. Everything is packed up. All the cupboards and the whatever is locked up, all the drugs. With the computer is now switched off. You come another day. No. In this particular instance, God, who is rich in mercy, is pleased to display that mercy, that goodness, that grace to this man who is a criminal. Now, he not only, that's a very important point, he not only is a criminal who has broken the laws of man and so deserves to die. He is not only a criminal who has broken the laws of God by living as if there is no God, living to satisfy his own cravings. But right here, where he is being crucified, he joins in mocking the Savior, the Son of God. Because if you read this story in Matthew and in Mark, it clearly says that he was crucified with two robbers, and they also joined in mocking the Lord Jesus. So he also, not only was he a criminal, right there as he's being crucified, he joins in to mock the Christ of God, to mock the only Savior for sinners, and to say to him, if you are the Son of God, save yourself and save us also. And this is what is very important. Somehow, somewhere, right there, in the midst of this mysterious circumstances of what is happening, somewhere there, God in his goodness dawns upon this man. And he gives him what we call the new birth. God working mysteriously. God working completely beyond our understanding. Somehow, he gets to this man. And the very first thing that we notice that God is working in this man, we notice that firstly, he is a person who is willing and ready to repent. He is willing and ready to repent. And we pick up the story from verse 39. It says, then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. And in verse 40, but the other, and this is the criminal who got saved, the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, do you not even fear God? There you can see that he has been awakened to the reality of God. Right there, at the 11th hour, he becomes aware of the God who is there. And the first thing he does is to rebuke his other criminal friend and says, do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? He says to his friend, look, what you're doing does not make sense. Don't you realize you and I are about to die? And when we die, we will stand before Almighty God to give account for what we have done. And then he says, look, indeed, for us, when we die here, it's just we are receiving exactly what we deserve because of the way we have lived. That's the first thing that happens to this dying thief. Is that he acknowledges he is guilty before God and before man. And he is willing to publicly acknowledge his sin before God. But as you see, the Bible is very interesting, because the Bible tells us every time, wherever there is repentance, there will always be faith. And wherever there is faith, there is going to be repentance. This is what you see, beloved friends. That not only is this man willing to acknowledge and admit that he deserves to die and go to hell. And that's very important for us to acknowledge. All of us who are here, if we are true Christians, we must admit that such is our guilty, that it is the right thing for God to send us to hell. If you do not admit that, then you have not truly seen yourself as God sees This is what the dying thief recognized that day. For the first time, he was able to see himself as God sees him. As one who is guilty. As one who is deserving of the punishment from God. And he was willing to acknowledge that publicly. Do you know what repentance is? Repentance is a change of mind. First and foremost, change of mind about your sin and about God. Up until this moment, God did not matter in this man's life. But by the secret and inscrutable work of the Holy Spirit, this man is awakened. And he begins to see God for who he really is. And he admits his own guilt as one who is deserving of the very worst of punishment. But let me hurry on to talk about his faith. Because his faith, beloved friends, is amazing. This man's faith is amazing. So first and foremost, he admits that he is sinful. He says, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. Now listen to that. But this man, referring to the Lord Jesus, has done nothing wrong. That's very, very interesting. I always used to wonder, as a young Christian, you know, that wonderful hymn, I wished we had had time to coordinate with my brothers. We should have sung it today. The dying thief. Rejoice to see that fountain in his day. And there, though vile as he, may I be able to see. That's basically what William Cowper is saying. So, he begins to acknowledge and to see the Lord Jesus Christ for who he is, as one who is completely righteous. He has done nothing wrong. Now, for you to be able to appreciate the faith of this man, first and foremost, you have to understand that he is believing in the Lord Jesus right in the midst of the people who are mocking and are disparaging the Lord Jesus. It's right there when people are saying to him, he saved others. Let him save. He called himself the chosen one from God. In the midst of the time when the Pharisees and the priests are disparaging and looking down on him, that is when the dying thief believed in Jesus Christ. But then secondly, not only did he believe in him while others were mocking him, he believed in him while he was at his weakest point. Here is the Lord Jesus. He hasn't come, you know, in one of those moments when he has performed a miracle or raised somebody from the dead or healed somebody in a spectacular way. Here he is, very weak. He has been beaten and he's been bloodied and he's almost dead. At that point, that this dying thief sees in that weak, in that wounded, in that emaciated Christ, he turns to him and says, this is an innocent man. But thirdly, not only does he believe in him while he is weak, he believes in him when his disciples forsook him. Remember, Judas betrayed him. Peter denied him. And all the disciples at this point, nowhere to be seen, standing afar off, they had run away from Jesus. That is when the dying thief turns to him and says, this is an innocent man. Fourthly, think about it, my friends. He believes in Jesus while he himself is in pain. Now, I can guarantee you, it's very easy to say, let's pray and believe God when everything is going well. When you are in pain, to even have the presence of mind to concentrate and to say to yourself, I need to pray and believe in God. Here is somebody who is dying and turning to another one who is dying and saying, I believe he is an innocent man. I can say to you, the faith of the dying thief is remarkable. He not only believes that he's in an innocent man, he believes that this man has a kingdom. And even though he is dying, he's going to come back in power and in glory in that kingdom. And he wants to have a part in that kingdom. And he turns to him and says, Lord Jesus, remember me in paradise. Although he is dying, although he is weak and bleeding, he believed in that wounded and bleeding Messiah and turns to him and says, when you come back in your kingdom, please remember me. Let me have a part in that kingdom. And the Lord Jesus, there's no way he could ignore that kind of faith. Right there when he was at his weakest, in agony and in shame, he found it in him to turn to him and says, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. My friends, I want to say to you, this is a remarkable declaration, demonstration of the amazing grace of God. How is it remarkable as a demonstration of the grace of God? Well, because you see, we live in a day and in a time, and even we ourselves oftentimes fall prey to this wrong thinking. We think that we have to do something before God can accept us. Of course, God is gracious. But even if God is gracious, there's something we need to do before God can accept us. Well, here is a man who has no time to do anything. He is about to die. Even if he wanted to do good, there's no time. He has wasted all his time. And he's right here at the nick of time, just about to expire. And if it is true that unless you do something good, God will not accept you, then this man has absolutely no hope. Because there's no time to do anything. But there is hope for him in the gospel of God. There is hope for him because we are not saved by anything that we do. Not one thing that we do. We are saved completely, absolutely, by the free grace of God in Jesus Christ alone. And there's no better example to illustrate that fact than this dying thief on the cross. I don't know what kind of gospel you believe in and you are preaching to people. Is it a kind of gospel that would have given hope for a dying thief? Is that the kind of gospel you believe in? Or somehow you believe in a gospel of grace, but at the same time, you still think there's something human beings need to do before they can be saved. here as plain as it can ever be, God demonstrates to us by grace alone, through Christ alone, for His glory alone. At the end of the day, when we all gather around the throne of God, we will, like this dying thief, acknowledge only by the amazing grace of God was I ever saved. You know, it's interesting that this thief, has, his name has never been mentioned. It's not been disclosed whether he was a Jew or something. It's probably he was a Jew, but he's never been mentioned. But I'm sure that when we all get to heaven, we want to see this gentleman. Who is this guy who died beside the bleeding Messiah? And in the nick of time, he saw in him his only hope for salvation and acceptance before God. So I ask once again, does the gospel you believe in and preach, would it have been able to give hope to a man like this dying thief? Or there would have been no hope for him, because your gospel includes that a man must do some good before he can be accepted before God. And I want us this particular morning once again to be reminded of how amazing, how wonderful, how glorious is the grace of God to guilty, undeserving, unworthy sinners like you and like me. And we see all of this in the dying thief. The dying thief. It's an amazing story how God, in His glorious wisdom, had set His love upon this man. And the devil had all but won if it were not for that timely intervention in the life of this man. Speaking as a human being, we can say he had the good fortune to be crucified with Jesus. See, if this man had been crucified a day before or a day after, maybe it would have been different. But we know that God in His goodness ordained that He was going to be crucified on the same day as the Lamb of God who takes away our sin was being put to death. And He saw through all the mockery, He saw through all the sufferings of Christ and the apparent weakness of Him gasping for air on that cross. He saw through all that and believed, this is indeed the Lamb of God. This is the righteous one. This is the one who has a kingdom. And as He is suffering here, He is not suffering because of sin. He is suffering for the sins of His people. That is why He's suffering. And He placed His confidence in Him. He threw Himself to Him and says, Lord Jesus, if only You would remember me, think of me, save me, and I will be saved. So, beloved friends, I want to say to you, we have good news to tell the world. Very good news. Here is a man who woke up a sinner, destined for hell, and died a saint, and entered into the very presence of God. What a glorious change. What wonderful news. You know, sometimes we say things, I'm sure we don't mean it, but they always give the wrong impression. Most people who are converted as young people.
As if it is dependent on being young to become a Christian.
No, my friends, it is absolutely dependent upon the grace of God.
It doesn't matter how old you are, what your character has been, or what kind of things you have done. If in this moment you will come and plead with Jesus and say, "You, who is the dying Lamb of God, save even me,"
you will be saved. You could be 20, you could be 90. You will be saved just as easily.
I know what we mean. We obviously be happy to have as many young people come to Christ as we want. But don't ever make the mistake of thinking, unless you are young, you cannot be saved. No!
This is a man who had lived a life of crime all his life. And God was pleased to save even.
I just hope that you're not thinking, therefore, that, well, if that's the way things are, I'm just going to live my life and then just wait when I'm getting on my dying bed, just like this man, and then I'm going to be saved. I hope nobody's thinking like that. But I don't trust you too much. In case you are thinking like that, I must remind you. I must remind you, there was another criminal, and he did die and go to hell. So if you are thinking like that, be careful.
You must not become sinful because God is gracious. You must not drink poison because there is the antidote.
You've seen a man who's going to say, "I'm going to drink this poison because I've got this antidote."
But nonetheless, the point is very clear. Doesn't matter how big of a sinner you are, Jesus is such a glorious Savior that He is ready, willing, and able to save even you.
You know, you don't go to the doctor and say, "Hey, before I go to the doctor, let me make sure I make myself as well as I can. Then I'll go to the doctor." Then you're not sick. Because if you are sick, you go to the doctor for that very reason. That is why you go to the doctor. You seek for a doctor because you have failed. Your health is failing. There's nothing you can do. And you go to him and say, "Please help me." That's the way to come to Christ. Don't try and say, "Let me clean myself up, and then I'll go to Jesus." No, my friends, here is the good news. Here is the blessed news, the best news you ever listened to. Come as you are. And He is going to clean you up from the inside out, just like He did the dying thief. You don't have to make yourself ready. Do not tarry and say, "Until I make myself ready." Come just as you are. You might say to yourself, "Well, I can't come because I don't feel like I have enough repentance." Well, just come as you are and tell him, "I don't even have repentance. Such is my depravity. I don't even feel like I have repented enough." Come like that. And he will give you the repentance you need. He is a complete Savior. And He is able to save to the uttermost all those who come to God through Him. But my friends,
I want to warn you. Make sure you believe the gospel of grace. Make sure you believe the gospel of grace. But at the same time, I want to remind you of that enormous responsibility that lies on your shoulder if you believe the gospel of grace. This is the gospel you need to be telling in Casa Grande. I can tell you there are many people who need this good news. They need to be reminded. Jesus is such a complete and powerful Savior. He is able to save any sinner at any age who is willing to come to Him. This is, friends, the message we are here for, to tell our generation that there is a Savior. His name is Jesus. He saved that criminal, that thief who broke not only the laws of man, but the laws of God. He saved him. He is willing and able to save anyone. That's the message you and I must be telling our city. Look how few we are. But look how blessed we are to have this good news. Surely we can fill this place with this good news. To tell men and women, boys and girls, of a glorious Savior. Of a powerful Savior who died for sinners, undeserving sinners, unworthy sinners, sinners on their way to hell. Those are the ones He died for. Those who don't want Him. Those who insult Him every day. Those are the ones He died for. And we need to take that message to them. Just like God was pleased in a mysterious way to rescue the dying thief. I can't stop thinking about that word. The dying thief. He rejoiced to see. He rejoiced to see in the wounded Savior, the only Savior. Here is a man crucified, placing his entire hope for life and eternity in another dying Savior. The dying man in the dying Savior. It's a remarkable faith indeed. And it's a faith that was pleasing to God and honoring to the Lord Jesus. And even though he was in such great pain, he was able to say, today, I'll be with you in paradise. And the last point I must make here is that here is a man who was not baptized but went to heaven. That's very important. Now, of course, if he had lived, he would have been baptized. But there was no time for anything else. There was only time for him to turn to Jesus and plead with him, throw himself at the feet of Christ and say, Savior, while on others you are calling, save even me. And he got saved into heaven without being baptized. That's a very important point we make. Because some people feel that because they've been baptized, they therefore will go to heaven. Because they eat Holy Communion every Sunday at Providence Reformed Baptist Church, they'll go to heaven. No, my friends, it's what gets you into heaven is closing in, linking to the Savior, clinging to Him, like we sang in that wonderful glorious hymn, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure Cleanse me from its guilt and its power. Not the labors of my hand can fulfill thy law's demand. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. That's the only way you get into heaven. I commend therefore to you the dying thief, the dying criminal, the man who, more than any other in the New Testament, teaches us about the grace of God in saving guilty, unworthy sinners like us. What a glorious gospel. What a wonderful news, my friends. This is the news entrusted to you and entrusted to me to take to a dying and a needy world. You see why God has left us here? Okay? The time that you gave your life to Christ, just like this dying thief, he could have taken you to heaven. Just that moment when you say, I came to Christ, he would have said, that's it. Come up, like he did to the dying thief. But he left you down here because he has given you a task. And the task right now is for you to fill these few chairs here with converted sinners. That's your task. And you do it with this message. It was a message good enough for a man who had lived all his life as a criminal and was in the article of death. That message of grace stepped in. That's why God has left you alive. So use your time for his honor, for his glory, for the extension of his kingdom because of his glad tidings for guilty, unworthy sinners. You know, I feel so strongly that this message is so wonderful, I can even speak to the children. They can hear me. That this is a message for you, children. Even now, even you, however young you may be, as long as you can understand that you are a sinner and you need a Savior, and the Savior is Jesus Christ crucified, dying for you, you will be saved and accepted among the number of God's people. That's a message for you, and it's a message for a 90-year-old person. God is able to save by his grace through Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Father, we thank you that you are good, always good, and only good. And we thank you that in your great goodness, you sent your beloved Son, the Lord Jesus, who paid that enormous price by being our substitute on the cross of Calvary and bearing the indignation and anger of God against our sin. And we thank you that while he was still doing that, he was able to save a sinner, a notorious sinner, a big sinner like this dying thief. We thank you that he rose again from the dead, that he ever lives at the right hand of God to make intercession for the people of God, that now he is able to save to the uttermost all those who come to God through him. And we pray that as your people, we might be ready to open our mouths and to speak of that blessed good news of the amazing grace of God in Jesus Christ our Savior, in whose name we pray.